Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Hello, all you beautiful people. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. So if you're new to the Rich Room, this is season two. First episode, season two. I did not intend on having seasons, but after taking a break for the past few months, it makes the most sense. So I started the Rich Room to create a space really to find myself. When I started this podcast, I had just moved from New Orleans, Louisiana to Gulfport, Mississippi. Wait, okay, let me back it up. All right, in 2022, I got married, which quite frankly seems like a lifetime ago. After I got married, I had a full-on emotional breakdown. I couldn't get out of bed. I had panic attacks every day. I totally withdrew from my life. It actually was a pretty dark period. I was also working as an attorney, and I was doing the best that I could do. But I came to the conclusion at that time that I did not see myself working in a law firm for the rest of my life. Well, the first reason why is because all of the people who were ahead of me, all of the partners at every firm I worked at, didn't seem happy. They did not seem happy with their lives, and they did not seem happier after they progressed in their career. And I was like, why the fuck would I do this? Why would I do this if I'm unhappy now? It's not going to get better. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. 2022 and 2023 were the hardest years of my life. The daily panic attack served as a warning to myself. I knew that something was really wrong with me, but I did not know what it was. I thought the main source of my unhappiness was my job as an attorney. Practicing as a defense litigation attorney in a law firm is one of the most demanding professions out there. Your entire life is broken up into 6-minute intervals and billable hours. And it's never enough. You're never doing enough. And the work is always there. It's always there. There's always more work. You never really hit a point where you're like, okay, I can breathe now. And I'll tell you what, I was up for the challenge, but it did not prove to be as lucrative as I was thinking. And if I'm being completely honest, the juice was not worth the squeeze. I was the breadwinner in my relationship, and it really didn't bother me at the time. When I first had my daughter, I was 16 years old, and I made the decision that I had to become a doctor or a lawyer so that I could raise my child on one income. I also, as a 16-year-old, had no concept of what an adult life would look like, right? And I really didn't even know much about any industry or any profession, but as society and, you know, culture and cinema and film has told us that doctors and lawyers make a fuck ton of money. That was my impression. But, you know, things change, and it's not necessarily the salary that changed, but inflation happened and everything got more expensive. Insurance, rent, you name it, health insurance, property insurance, taxes go up. Like, inflation is a motherfucker. And the salaries were not rising in line to keep up with inflation. So it's almost like you were at a disadvantage. And I started recognizing it, you know, back in like definitely 2022, definitely 2022. And I'm like, there has to be something more. There has to be something more out there. Is this it? And it wasn't good enough for me. And you know, that's okay. That's okay that it wasn't good enough for me, because I made the decision when I was 16 years old to become an attorney. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I didn't know anything. But being the breadwinner in my relationship, who was also on the fast track of having a full-on breakdown, I could feel the pressure. I could feel it. It's like the walls were closing in. It was like an elephant was sitting on my chest. Like I had anxiety out the ass. It was horrible. But spoiler alert, things got better. So it's 2022. I'm having a horrible breakdown. I'm still working. I'm still the breadwinner, but I can feel myself slipping. I can tell that I need to stop and figure out what's going on with me. And my family, God bless them, they told me that they would help me out until I figured myself out. And I'm eternally grateful for that. But I really did not want to leave my job. It was very difficult for me to resign from that position, mainly because I felt like the biggest failure on earth. I felt like I had, you know, pursued this career and my family had supported me in all my decisions. And here I was saying that I didn't want to do it anymore. And I felt really bad about that. I felt really guilty about that. And even though I was breaking down in the summer of 2022, I held on and I took on more work and I tried to make it work and I tried to do better. But ultimately, I had to put myself first. And even though I felt like the biggest failure on earth, I made the decision to resign from my attorney job in December 2022. And truly, in my brain, I thought my life was going to get better after that. But surprise, surprise, it got worse. I realized at some point in the beginning of 2023 that my marriage was not going to work out. But I was holding out hope that it would turn around. Because I had just left my law career, something that was a huge part of my identity, and I was about to split from a relationship that was another major part of my identity. I'd failed at my law career, and now I was failing at my marriage. And truly, I was embarrassed to admit to anybody that I had made a mistake. But my God, if it was not the best thing for me to fail at both of those things, but it was not what I thought at the time. So there were many reasons that my marriage didn't work, but I would say the fundamental reason was that I did not know who I was. I was trying to be who I thought my partner wanted me to be. I was trying to be someone that I thought society wanted me to be. And I was trying to make my partner fit a narrative of what I felt a husband should be. We were doomed from the beginning, honestly, but I wish him all the best. Okay, so I had just separated from my husband in April of 2023, and I started the podcast in about August of September of 2023, so that same year. I moved from the house I shared with my ex to an Airbnb for a few months. I moved all of my shit into a storage unit in New Orleans. My entire life was in that storage unit. Have y'all ever moved your entire life into a storage unit? It's really a depressive feeling at the time, but I mean, it ended up being quite cathartic. Anywho, then I moved to my dad's house in Gulfport, Mississippi, and I was there for a few months before I moved to Miami, which is where I am now, even though I'm not in the same house that I originally moved into when I first came to Miami. I started the Rich Room podcast because I felt like I had, quote unquote, lost all aspects of my life that built up my entire identity. I lost all the things that had previously enriched my life. I lost all the things that gave me confidence. And during that time in 2023, I was this stripped down version of myself and I did not know what to do. And this podcast served as a way for me to discover and discuss anything and everything that enriches my life and brings me joy. I also realized that I was very uneducated about money and wanted to educate myself and to help others. And mainly, I want to educate myself so I can pass it on to my daughter, because who the fuck is going to teach her? And clearly, knowing about money is very important. No, it's a tool. Money's a resource. So why the fuck doesn't anyone teach us about it? Anywho, so I decided to educate myself, and I'm currently in the process of doing that. And so the Rich Room was born. I'm trying to find a path to financial freedom and true life enrichment. The podcast has been challenging, but rewarding. And I am very excited for season two. Season one was a hoot. I met myself for what felt like the first time. So I moved to Miami because I was like, all right, girl, you are in a bit of a funk. You've had your entire life implode. You need to go somewhere to be able to lick your wounds. You are exceptionally unhappy and you need to figure out why. You need to figure out what's going on. So I moved to Miami. I truly felt like I had nowhere else in the world to go. I wasn't going back to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And I had outgrown my life in New Orleans. And the only other destination that came to mind was Miami. Now, Miami is the only destination because my daughter, Madison, got accepted into the University of Miami. And I sort of followed her. In her freshman year, she stayed in the dorm and I had a little house near her school. I did a fuck ton of self-work through this podcast. Well, and through therapy. Therapy is amazing, but therapy doesn't work unless you do the work. Like, I know a lot of people. Okay, a lot of people. I know of people who are in therapy and who have been for a very long time, and they have not improved at all. So it's not really therapy that is the needle mover. It's the work that you do on yourself. But therapy is just another like safe space for you to talk to someone who is an objective third party and who's on your side. They have your best interest at heart. But you can't just rely on therapy. You actually have to do the work yourself. So therapy, self-work, I really found myself. I learned to love myself. I learned how to implement boundaries. I also got divorced. One hell of a boundary. I saw a quote the other day that said, "Boundaries are a way for me to love you and me simultaneously." And I just thought that was fucking genius. But I am here for season two, which is gonna be a little bit different than season one. Okay, things have got to change a bit, all right? So we are in a new climate. In season one, I said that I wasn't going to talk about politics, but we don't really have that luxury anymore. And honestly, I'm pissed. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about politics. I would rather talk about literally anything else. Beyonce's Cowboy Carter tour, aliens, reincarnation, how modern Christianity is so far removed from Jesus's original teachings. Actually, I think I might get into that one in a later episode, so stay tuned. But I don't want to be talking about politics, but I have to. So season two is a bit of a deviation from season one. I'm still going to talk about my path to financial freedom and true life enrichment, but the reality is that I cannot be happy while the world burns around me. So I have to be part of the solution and do everything in my power to help. Now, I was blessed with this voice. I was blessed with this perspective. My perspective is very unique. And I also have an insatiable hunger for knowledge and learning that just doesn't seem to be quenched. So I just keep learning and learning and learning and learning. Also, having a daughter at 16, graduating high school, college, law school, raising that daughter to be a successful young woman, practicing law, being admitted into three different jurisdictions, becoming a designer, starting a fucking podcast, and then becoming a Pilates instructor. My resume just makes me tired just saying it out loud. So yeah, I have some experience under my belt and I got some shit to say. And if you can handle this episode, you're gonna be just fine. So I was supposed to come back in March. I was supposed to start the podcast back in March, but there was no way that I could do that. As I mentioned earlier, I am now a Pilates instructor, a certified Pilates instructor. But that required like 250 fucking hours of training and observing and practicing and teaching. I think it was that many hours. It was a lot. And the test was actually at the, I think it was the first or second weekend of March. So when March 1st rolled around, I was in the thick of my teacher training. I also had an injury. I don't know how, but I dislocated my left shoulder and was able to pop it back in myself, which is a very weird experience for me and something that has never happened to me before. It could have something to do with the fact that, you know, Mercury is in retrograde, Venus is in retrograde, Neptune just entered Aries, which for those who don't know what that means, it's a big fucking deal. The last time that Neptune was in Aries, we had the French Revolution, the American Revolution, slavery was abolished. Like, it was a huge transformative time period. So maybe that's why I'm going through so many changes. I did get my nails done fiery orange red to take advantage of all of the fiery energy of Neptune and Aries. Basically, this is a time to take action. Oh, politics. So where should I start? There's too much. Too much has happened since old boy took office. There's too much to talk about. It makes me wonder if anyone considered that all of these radical, unprecedented, unconstitutional policy changes would be, like, bad for us collectively as a society. Like, maybe it's not a good idea to bring everything down at the same time. Maybe it's not a good idea. Maybe it's not good for everyone. Like, did anyone think that? Also, if you want to improve systems, that's fine. If you want to make systems more efficient, that's fine. But you don't do it by shutting the system down. There's definitely a way to do it. And I just don't think that anyone was thinking, is this going to hurt people? Which is ironic because the government is supposed to help people. So, you know, I just don't really know where to start. How did this happen? How could we let this happen? Well, as you all know, we have a two-party system in the United States, the Democrats and the Republicans. I am here to critique both. I'm officially an independent. I hate everyone. I'm actually quite annoyed that I have to talk about this shit. So the Republicans control everything right now, and boy, are they flexing their muscles. More on that in a bit. But before I tear into how the Republicans have turned us into a fascist state, let me start by going in on the Democrats. Because the only thing worse than a Republican, the Republican, oh my God, that's so fucking funny. Oh my God, and I'm a Republican. Oh man, should I trademark that term? Anyways, the only thing worse than a Republican is a fucking Democrat. Why, might you ask? Because the Democrats have not done shit. I say that with the exception of Cory Booker. He just broke the record for the longest speech on the Senate floor for 25 hours and 4 minutes. Very major, but we should note that this was not a filibuster. A filibuster is a speech made to delay a vote, and there was no vote to delay. But he did hold up the Senate business for quite some time. The rules of the Senate require that whoever is speaking remain standing and forego bathroom breaks. He had to be wearing a diaper, right? I mean, I pee every 15 minutes. How the fuck did he not pee in 25 hours and 4 minutes? I don't know. Booker's speech gained global attention as he criticized the current administration's policies. And he even read letters from constituents who had been harmed by the current policies. I applaud Booker for standing up and using his voice. I do not want to take anything away from him, but I do think this action is an early play for the 2028 election. That's my opinion. It was the first thing that came to my mind. It was really the second thing that came to my mind. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Finally, a fucking Democrat is doing something. Looking at you, Chuck Schumer. But yes, it's good and I like it. But the second thing that came to my mind was like, he's for sure going to run for president in 2028. There's got to be a motive, right? So now I can acknowledge that one Democrat has done something good. So let's get back to the others who haven't done shit. Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer could have prevented the vote on the spending bill. And in a crazy turn of events, he supported it. And it just made me wonder what blackmail they got on Chuck Schumer. Also, back in 2021, 2022, the Democrats had control over Congress and the presidency, and there was not one piece of progressive legislation passed. That is a big fucking fail. The Dems are a big fucking fail. And even in this most recent election, the Democrats seemed to have no plan. It seemed like they were a bunch of out-of-touch elitists who think they can win the people's vote by saying you're going to legalize weed. Baby, people have been consuming weed for thousands of years without your performative legalization. My point is that people are going to use cannabis whether or not it's legal, and they always have. The Democrats in the 2024 election did not listen to the constituents. Because if they had, they would have found out that the majority of people are unhappy with the housing market, how expensive groceries are, the healthcare system. And the Dems were just like, but yeah, well, let's just legalize the weed, man. And the extreme Democrats are kind of the worst. I think I told y'all before how much I enjoy the comment section. I throw a little comment here, throw a little comment there. Nothing too strong, just a funny comment. But some people are too quick to jump down your throat and judge that they don't realize that you're actually on the same damn side. So 2024, wait, fuck, we're in 2025. Oh my God. It's April. Shit. Anyways, so 2025 has not been a good year for Target. So I'm sure as everyone knows, Trump signed an executive order decreeing all DEI programs as illegal and instructed the public sector and the private sector, including Target, to do away with their DEI programs or run the risk of federal investigation and prosecution. So Target, among many other corporations, rolled back their DEI policies. That rollback prompted a major national boycott of Target. Understandably so, right? Why would people want to fund their own oppression? Doesn't make any fucking sense. Also, why is the government telling a private corporation what to do with its policies? That doesn't make any sense to me. But I digress. Following the start of the boycotts, Target's shareholders sued Target, saying that Target breached its fiduciary duty to its shareholders by rolling back its DEI policies, which prompted a national boycott. When there is a national boycott of a company, the value, the stock, the price, stock price goes down. I don't know what it is today. I haven't looked that up, but Target's stock has gone down significantly. So they get catching hell from people boycotting, catching hell from its shareholders. And then I saw an article from the Miami Herald posted on Instagram that said that the state of Florida was suing Target. The state of Florida was suing Target because I think back in 2023, Target displayed Pride clothing, which prompted, I think, boycotts by some people, maybe, but it didn't have any financial impact on Target, so that's interesting. Anywho, but the state of Florida was now suing Target for allowing Pride clothing, which prompted boycotts, which I guess could be considered a breach of the fiduciary duty. But I don't see how one is related. I think the state of Florida just wanted to get in on it in some way, but whatever. So, Miami Herald posts that story. And then I'm waking up in the morning, scrolling on Instagram, and I'm like, oh my God, no way. This is not a great year for Target. I myself am participating in the Target ban. I think that's important to the story. So I do a little comment under the post and I say, Target is catching hell from its shareholders, the people, and now the government? Bad start to 2025 for Target. Hashtag boycott. Okay, from that post, you can probably tell which side I'm on. Not probably, you fucking can tell. Hashtag boycott. Hashtag boycott. Okay, so then age underscore galactic commented on my post. Did you even read this at all? It's a clothing line from 2023. Yes, actually, age underscore galactic, I did read the post. So then I replied, was the lawsuit filed in 2025 or filed in 2023? No response. Fucking crickets. Because duh, it was not filed in 2023. It was filed in 2025, which is why I said Target's having a bad year. Bad start to 2025 for Target. Duh. And then another person, Dial for Earl, said, go back to New York. So that was his own comment. Then he commented again, you're a Jew who hates the LGBTQ plus community? Oh, the irony, laughing, crying face. I was very, very confused. I responded back, how did you come to that conclusion? Big ally and also not from New York. And I did a little pride flag emoji. No one responded. So one thing that was weird to me is that I don't have any identifying information on my profile on Instagram that I'm Jewish because I don't take on that identity really. I mean, I do and I don't. I'm Jew heavy on the ish. I've said this before. So I was not raised Jewish, but my mom's family is Jewish. She also was not raised Jewish. But when I had my daughter, my mom was having like a religious revolution of her own and got back into the Jewish faith. And as well, and my daughter did too. My daughter is Jewish for sure. Jewish through and through. She was bat mitzvah. She was confirmed. She did the whole thing. She was a counselor at camp, went to Jewish camp, Jewish summer camp every single fucking summer. Loved it. Went to Israel. So she's real Jewish. But I guess I just look Jewish. And I did not feel great with him saying that you're a Jew from just looking at me. I don't know. That's weird for me. It's a weird experience for me, but I didn't feel great. But you know what? I will say that I was very happy that he thought I was from New York. This country ass howdy doody bitch looks like she's from New York. I'll take that. I'll take that any day. So yeah, that made me not feel good. I'm like, you're so fucking stupid. Can y'all read? I didn't say I hate anybody. I said Target's having a bad year because it's being sued by its shareholders, it's being boycotted by the people, and it's being sued by the state of Florida. Hashtag boycott. Hashtag boycott. People are so fucking stupid. You know, this little post right here made it real easy for me to denounce the Democrats. So I am done with the two-party system. I have chosen to liberate myself from this two-party system. I hate it. It totally disregards the fact that most of us fall somewhere in the middle of these two extremes. And it keeps reasonable people at odds with each other. I encourage you all to liberate yourself from this two-party system and choose yourself and start fucking calling things out on both sides. Don't just criticize one side. Criticize consistently. Consistently criticize. We've forgotten how to disagree with each other. For some reason, we can't reasonably sit down and have a respectful debate. Well, that ends now. I encourage everyone to not shy away from conversations with someone that you disagree with, but rather try and create a safe space where both parties can express their true feelings. Stop being so fucking judgmental of other people. Quite frankly, one of the most radical things that we can do right now is to get off the internet and start talking to each other. And I might regret this, but here it fucking goes. If you have anything you want to debate with me or talk to me about or get my opinion, send me a DM at The Rich Room Podcast on Instagram. I will respond. I had someone recently ask me about my position on DEI, and they had a differing position. And we started talking, and once we started having a conversation, we realized that we were more aligned than we thought. So ditch this two-party system. Make these fuckers work for your vote. We are doing an Irish goodbye to these parties. And if they want our vote, they better work for it. You better work. Did that sound like RuPaul? Because I was trying to. But yeah, they need to work for it. Shit, Elon Musk gave out $1 million checks at a rally for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. His candidate lost, but it shows that these people are willing to do anything to win. Clearly, our votes matter. Our votes matter so much that they are trying to make it harder for you to vote. They are counting on you not voting. You might be asking yourself, Lindsay, why the heck are you getting involved in politics? Well, I don't really have a choice. I was raised to be this way. I was raised to question things. I was raised to stick up for what is right. I have finally met myself, and I really like myself. And I have to stay true to myself. I have an inherent core value that I cannot stay silent while witnessing atrocities on a daily basis. I remember learning about slavery and the Holocaust in school, and I was just horrified at what we as people have done to each other. We are capable of really horrible things. But I remember thinking to myself, if I had been alive then, I would have helped. I would have been part of the resistance. I would have stood up for those who were the target of hate. So it's now time to put my money where my mouth is. I am many things. I'm a mother, a daughter, a friend, a Pilates instructor, podcaster, designer, business owner. And last but certainly not least, I am a lawyer. Now, the lawyers have had to get involved in Donald Trump's unconstitutional shenanigans. I don't know if y'all have seen lawyers on social media sharing statements from the ABA, which stands for the American Bar Association. The ABA is a nonpartisan, which means no party affiliation, voluntary bar association for lawyers in the United States. The ABA assists in bar exam preparation and also offers other resources for attorneys in the United States. So why do you see the ABA making statements on Trump's policies? Well, because they are against the law. And who knows that best? Lawyers, because we have to study it. I think we might be the only ones who have ever read the Constitution, damn it. Anywho, so we all know that Trump signed an executive order on January 21st, 2025, ending all DEI programs within the government. But what I hadn't realized was that the executive order also stated that private corporations also had to end their voluntary DEI programs or risk investigation or prosecution if they adopted or promoted DEI. Okay, same thing with Target. So, frankly, when I saw that all of these private corporations were rolling back DEI, I thought they were just bending the knee to Trump, honestly. So the government now thinks that it has the power to tell a private corporation what to do with the policies it has? What's to prevent them from saying that the private corporations have to change their maternity leave policies, paternity leave? Like, where does it end? Where do we draw the line if we allow the government to be involved in the private sector like this? Like, WTF, Trump? The government has absolutely zero authority to mandate which programs a private corporation implements. And if someone else out there has a different view of it, please reach out to me, because I don't care about being right. I want to learn. But I'm pretty sure I'm fucking right on this. And I just have really one question for Trump. Have you read the Constitution? I think we know the answer. But there really are two possibilities here. Either he read it and he didn't understand it, or he didn't read it. And it's really, 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 really looking like he didn't read it. Because this is constitutional law 101. Okay, something that was confusing to me is that, okay, the Republicans, they're in power, honey. They got the Supreme Court, the presidency, Congress, everything they need to get their agenda going. And it has now been confirmed that all along, the agenda was Project 2025. I think as it stands now, nearly half of the policies from Project 2025 have been implemented. And we're not even 90 days in. But the confusing part to me is that I thought a foundational principle of the Republican Party was small government and not having the government involved in your private lives. That does not seem to be the case now. Government seems to be invading every aspect of our life. And it just makes me wonder how we got here. But now the lawyers are involved because the executive order told private bar associations like the ABA that they needed to end their DEI programs. This is, without a doubt, an overreach of the executive branch. See, we have this little thing called the Constitution. It's great and it's bad. It's great because it establishes our three-branch system with checks and balances, aka democracy. It's bad because it was written only by white men, and therefore the intent of the Constitution was only for white men to have these protections. So not women and nobody of color. Obviously, things changed a little bit later, but damn it, it really feels like this administration is trying to take us back to times where it was white guys only. All right, there are three branches. The executive, which is the president, the legislative, which is Congress, and the judiciary, which is the courts. The Constitution specifically outlines which power each branch has. An old boy in office is really just doing his own thing, which prompted the ABA to make public statements regarding the unconstitutional nature of these policies. Then there was talk by Trump and Elon Musk about impeaching judges and defunding the federal courts, which the ABA also had to comment on. Like, this is getting crazy. Trump is specifically trying to target people who disagree with him. And that is just not how this fucking works, bro. Like, we are allowed to disagree with you. And I think more people disagree with you than they care to admit. So it's getting crazy now because the ABA called upon the entire profession to stand up for the rule of law and the Constitution. And I'm like, you mean me? Fuck. We're fucked. I'm just kidding. But like, now I gotta tap in? Tap in? Oh no, honey. I don't know, man. Now I gotta stand up for people? So that's me. This is me right now standing up. This is me on my podcast standing up my way. I'm a lawyer and I'm standing up for the rule of law, standing up for what is right. But I can't be the only one, all right? I'm gonna need all y'all, even the non-lawyers, I'm gonna need y'all to stand up for what is right. You know what's right. You feel it in your soul. You feel it in your gut. You know what's right. Another thing that bothers me so bad is that Trump swore an oath to defend and abide by the U.S. Constitution, and he's just out here totally disregarding it. It's kind of frightening, but here we are. Now, I'm going to get into more specificity on all of these fucking issues. It's not going to be totally politics, but it's going to be a lot because we don't have a fucking choice now. So I encourage you all to ditch the two-party system and join me in the middle movement. I am tired of this left and right fighting bullshit. I want everyone in our society to be happy and healthy. And even if you feel like maybe all of this shit doesn't affect you, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of someone that it does affect. Imagine that your candidate didn't win the 2024 election, and we have Kamala Harris, the first woman president, and she's doing all these executive orders left and right, ignoring the Constitution, rounding up anyone who's ever said a racist thing without due process, and shipping them off to Guantanamo Bay. It's it's an extreme, but really not so extreme visualization, but it matters. It matters because the pendulum always swings the other way. Always. It's inevitable. Any of y'all out there who are not calling out the clearly illegal shit that's going on, you might want to tap on in, because what's going on is Trump is setting a very, very bad precedent. And if you plan on staying silent during these times when blatantly illegal, unconstitutional, immoral, inhumane shit is going on, then I don't want to hear a fucking word from you in 4 years if someone else ignores protocol and process to implement an agenda. Because, honey, you all have made your bed. So please join me. Join me in this self-education journey. I will be doing my best to help guide you along the way. Because the greatest way, the fastest way to enrich your life is to educate yourself. Thank you for everyone who joined me on episode 1 of season 2 of The Rich Room. Yes, I fucking did it. If you're so inclined, please give us 5 stars and leave us a comment about how entertained you are. Are you not entertained? You can also follow me at Lindsay_Sobel and also follow at The Rich Room Podcast. See you hoes next week. It's good to be back.